I love asking this question. If we dive into something basic like this, if you didn't have anything up here, no verses or nothing, and I said, show me why soul winning is important to you in the Bible, what would you tell me? Is there any verse that comes to mind? I've heard people say this. Oh, soul winning's not in the Bible. Well, careful, don't shoot your mouth off that way, because it is in the Bible. Proverbs 11:30, and we'll look at it this morning. He that winneth souls is wise. No, soul winning is in the Bible. But what could you show your convert? If you led somebody to the Lord, you don't have to show them all of this, but could you show them any of it? Could you show them, no, let me tell you what's important in the Christian life. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43, let's start right there. Verse number 7. I know God's talking to Israel here, but you can spiritualize this and it's not going to hurt anything. Look at verse 7. Isaiah 43, verse 7. Even everyone that is called by my name. If you're called by the name of God, that means you're saved, right? You say he's talking about Israel. I know that, but this is everybody that is saved. Then look at after the colon. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. God says to everybody that's saved, I created you and I saved you to glorify me. Well, what does the word glorify mean? The word glorify means to make beautiful, to make look good, to magnify, to lift up. God says, I created you and saved you to make me look good to the world. How do you do that? Now take your Bible and go to John 15. John 15 is called the fruit-bearing chapter in your Bible. Everybody ought to know this. There are chapters in your Bible that deal with certain things. When somebody said, if you could only go to one chapter about soul winning or fruit bearing, where would you go? John 15, immediately. You say, why? Notice the word fruit as Jesus says this, and then watch closely. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. What's a husbandman? It's someone that keeps the vineyard. You could say a farmer, but it's more than that. It's the vine keeper. So Jesus said, I am the vine, and the one who oversees it is my Father. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. This is the fruit-bearing chapter. How you define fruit determines what you're going to get out of this chapter. I've watched Christians define this. Keep your finger right there and go to Galatians. Look at Galatians chapter 5. See, this thing called soul winning, with it being our purpose and something God saves us to do, people don't like that pressure. I've watched more people, you say, the top three issues that people get upset over in a church is music, standards, any type of standards. I don't care if it's hair length or dress standards or whatever it is. And the last one is soul winning. And I've watched more people in my years in the ministry get upset over soul winning because it's a pressure than I have anything else. I watch people leave church over music. If we can't have rock music in church, or I've watched people leave, you know, because of separation. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. So you understand there's a battle going on. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And then he's going to describe to you the works of the flesh. Notice verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When people read John 15, they turn to Galatians chapter 5 and they say, see, if we'll just love each other and be joyful, we'll bear fruit. That is not what that says. Verse 22 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, all that. When you yield to the Holy Spirit, God loves through you. That's God's fruit. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's not your fruit. My fruit and your fruit is another Christian that's leading people to Christ. But does everybody see how Galatians 5 is taken out of context and they'll say, no, we just need to love each other and then we're bearing fruit. No, you're... If you'll yield to the Holy Spirit, you'll love like you're supposed to love. But that's not bearing fruit. That's not bearing fruit. what is the fruit that we're talking about? Now, keep your finger in John 15, go to the Old Testament, go to Proverbs 11:30, and watch this. In the day and age we live, people can use Scripture, and it sounds good, and okay, I see, but it's like they'll take it, just read a few phrases of it, and then take it out and run to another verse. I'm trying to show you, no, look at what you're reading, look at your Bible. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. It does not say that the fruit of the righteous... I know what we've been taught. We've been taught this. The fruit of a pear tree is a pear. The fruit of an orange tree is an orange. Fruit of an apple tree is an apple. And the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. When you get people saved, that's not the fruit this is talking about. It doesn't say that the fruit of the righteous is a piece of fruit. What's it say? The fruit of the righteous is it's a tree. A tree bears multiple pieces of fruit. Here's the fruit that every one of us is supposed to bear. Another Christian that's winning souls. That's a tree. And the mistake is this. I've led somebody to the Lord. I'm bearing fruit. You're not bearing fruit until somebody you've led to the Lord is leading people to the Lord. If you had that as a goal, that's what we're all supposed to be praying for. Dear God, when I die, let there be something with two legs on it spreading the gospel while I'm in heaven, like I got to give it to them. I think we limit ourselves. The Christian life is exciting. And if you have not led a soul to Christ, you ought to be praying for that. Lord, give me somebody. Help me lead somebody to the Lord. Then you lead somebody to the Lord, and there's nothing like that. It is a joy, but you're not done. You know what I mean? Well, it's like... Yeah, well, no, they lead somebody to Christ, or they're thinking, I'm leading people to the Lord, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. The Great Commission is getting people saved, getting them baptized, and teaching them to go soul winning. It's three things, not one. Does our church, we get about 80 people saved a year, sometimes 78, sometimes 85, but we fluctuate here. Between the souls I lead to Christ and we lead to Christ, when we knock on doors, we see about 80 people saved a year. We see about 15 people baptized a year out of those 80. That's what we do as a little country church, which I like. Now that everybody understands what fruit is not and what fruit is, now go back to John 15. And let's read John 15. You have to have an understanding of fruit. I think the Christian life never loses its challenge when you keep everything in perspective and make fruit-bearing the goal. I can lead somebody to Christ. What I find myself now longing to see is people getting saved, getting baptized, and growing in the Lord. That's the full commission. It's not, time to go get somebody saved again. No, it's part of what we do, getting people saved. But it's three things. Now, read John 15 with Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Any Christian that sets themselves against soul winning, and I've seen this every once in a while, I'm not going soul winning. I don't care what anybody says, I'm not doing it. When you set yourself, I'm not going to bear fruit, God says, then I'll take you out of a soul winning church and put you in... There's plenty of churches that don't win souls. They're all over the place. You can go and sit for 45 minutes in a service anywhere. I didn't say if you haven't led somebody to Christ. I said when you set yourself against soul winning. The first church my wife and I were in, I would go around and ask the men, would you like to go soul winning? When would you like to go? Tell me when you want to go and I'll go with you. And one man in the church, he just looked at me. He said, he was younger than me too. I said, hey man, I said, when you want to go soul winning? He said, I don't do that. I said, what, your schedule not allow it? I said, you're working three jobs, whatever. He goes, I don't do that. He said, you don't ever have to ask me that again. He said, I'm never going. When somebody says, I will not do that, that is what this is talking about. It's not talking about, well, if I haven't led a soul to Christ, is God going to take me out of the church? Don't think that way. You ought to be praying about your soul winning. Everybody in here, including me, I ought to be asking, Lord, you're going to let me meet somebody this week. Help me lead somebody to you. Look at verse 2. It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. The word purge means to prune. What does a pruner do? He looks at the tree. This branch is bearing fruit. This branch is not, and the sprig's off of it. So he cuts off all of the branches that aren't bearing fruit. Why does he do that? So that they don't take the sap and it sends more energy to the branches that are bearing fruit. That's the whole principle. I don't care if it's apple, oranges, pears, doesn't make any difference. You prune or purge the tree. And what's so beautiful about this, picture a vine. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. We're all linked into Jesus. Every branch that beareth fruit, he, that's the Lord, purgeth or pruneth it that it may bring forth more fruit. When you say, I see soul winning is very important. I'm going to start winning people to Christ, making it my goal. I'm going to let this thing eat me up. God starts working in your life. There's things I can preach. I can preach the whole council, cover to cover. But there's things when you start soul winning that God will do in your life that preaching won't do. Isn't that what it says? If you'll start to bear fruit, if you'll make soul winning your goal, then God says, well, then you're not going to need this in your life, and you don't need this, and get this out, and God starts growing you spiritually. That's why I believe one of the most important things I can do as a pastor, there's things I can teach you that will help you. Soul winning is one of the most important things I can teach you. I can't make you win souls. I can't make you be soul conscious. I can provide material for you. I got Dr. Hiles's Let's Go Soul Winning. I can email that to you as an MP3. It's from the to hear Dr. Hiles lead someone to Christ. He goes through and leads this family in the living room to the Lord. To hear him do it, it's motivating. It's motivating. I've got soul winning DVDs. I've got Pastor Owens teaching you step by step how to mark your Bible, what verses to do, how to get them down the aisle. I've got material. But when you say, what I love is the best thing I can teach you is soul winning, you say, why? So God can work in your life. And I love this. Let's keep on reading. Look at verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. What's the word abide mean? The word abide means to dwell. How do you abide in Christ? You dwell on him in your mind. So you're going to see this word abide in here a lot. The more you think, that's why it's important that you read your Bible in the morning. You don't have to read a long time, but you need about 15, 20 minutes. Charge the battery. So you can think about it and refer to it through the day, but if you'll abide in Christ, or this is the dweller, this is the abider, okay? Abide in me, or dwell in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide or dwell in me. When I got saved, we were on ship, I didn't have a church to go to, I had not been baptized yet, it wouldn't be for 6 months. Till I get back to the States. All I had to do on ship was read my Bible, and God put me in an incubator because God knew that's what this boy needed. Okay? God does with everybody differently. But I was memorizing verses, and a man named Danny came up to me. He was a graduate of a Bible college. He was running from God. He was called to preach, running from God. Isn't that amazing? God used a backslidden preacher to help me. Amen. He came up to me and he said, and I always carried my Bible verses in my pocket on cards, and I'd kept them rubber banded, and I'd go through them. He said, you got all those memorized? And I said, yes, sir, I'm working at it. He said, and this is what he said, based on John 15, what we just read, the more verses you memorize, the more souls you're going to lead to Christ. Why? Because when you abide in Christ, in the Bible, it empowers you. There's something, you say, explain it all to me. I can't. We'll find out when we get to heaven. Okay? But when Danny looked at me and he said, you're going to lead a lot of souls to Christ because you're memorizing a lot of Bible. I had no clue what he was saying. it would not click for about 10 years, okay? I'll just let you know, it's important that you read the Bible, that you study the Bible, and that you memorize the Bible. When you're reading and something stands out to you, mark it and write it down and memorize it. Commit it to memory. Put it in your pocket, and when you're just sitting there, when you got a lax moment, pull them out. No, everybody's not put on a ship for 6 months. I realize that. But at the same time, all of us are supposed to be memorizing Scripture. All of us. Let's keep reading. Ready? Verse 5. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth or dwelleth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That verse right there, the end of it, ought to be underlined in your Bible. For without me, ye can do nothing. Not without me, you can do just a little. Or without me, you can do most. Jesus said, without me, you do nothing in this area. You cannot do it without the Lord. So, neat verse. Look at verse 6. Ready? If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burnt. That does not mean that you lose your salvation, and if you don't go soul winning, you're going to go to hell. Okay, that is not what that means. It's your worth. It's your Christian worth. Your value. Think about this just for a second. This is a strong statement to make. I'll show this to you in just a second. But if you plant a pear tree in your yard, or a fruit tree, or an apple tree, or an orange tree, you're looking for fruit. And if you plant that tree, and by the fifth year you're supposed to be getting fruit off the tree, and you say, okay, it didn't give me nothing this year, year 5, year 6, year 7, year 8, year 9, year 10, I want a fruit tree. You're cutting the tree down, and you're planting another tree. The value of the fruit tree is the fruit. And that's what God's saying. He that beareth not fruit is withered and cast into the fire and replaced. Praise God, you can't lose your salvation. That is not what this is talking about. It's talking about your worth as a Christian is the same worth that a fruit tree has to bear fruit. Keep on reading. Ready? It says here, verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. That's a prayer verse, right? Right? If ye shall ask what ye will. In the context of the whole chapter is talking about fruit bearing. So Jesus gives a prayer verse. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. What are we supposed to be praying about? Dear God, help me bear fruit. Please help me bear fruit. Do you ever pray about your soul winning? I know this. It's fun when you can pray something like this. God, I know you want me to lead a soul to Christ. I don't wonder. I know that your will for my life is that I lead someone to Christ. Please help me do so. That's fun praying ground right there. You know what you're praying is correct. Do you ever pray that way? Lord, please, help me lead somebody to you. God says, pray about it. Look at verse 8. Here is, now, I know we've kind of come full circle. I started Isaiah 43, verse 7. We started reading John 15, and verse 8 is, I'm going to link back to verse 43, 7. Watch verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Remember what Isaiah 43 says, I have called everyone by my name. I have created him for my glory. God says, I saved you to glorify me. How do you do that? It's not walking around going, glorify, glorify. It's nothing mystical or spooky. You glorify God when you bear fruit. The main thing I'm supposed to be seeking after as a Christian, pastor, churchman, it does not make any difference. I'm supposed, God, who do you want to use me to lead to you? That is my function. When I lose that as a goal in my life, everything just kind of blends and runs together. And I lose my focus as a Christian. I've been backslid before. Is this confession time? Like Alcohol Anonymous? Hi. I've been saved 33 years. I've been backslidden several times. I've lost my focus several times where I needed God to ring my bell and kick my kachuski. Amen? And light a fire. When you get on fire for God is when you get your focal point set. Now that we've learned how to glorify God, go to Luke 19. Luke chapter 19, look at verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the purpose. That's why Jesus came, to save men, not to destroy them. If you take Luke 19:10, now go to John 20, verse 21. After Jesus rises from the dead, he appears to the disciples and he says, Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. Jesus said, As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. What have we been sent to do? The same thing Jesus was sent, to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke 19:10. This is so much in your Bible, it's over and over and over again. Go to Luke 13. Go back to Luke 13. I understand the pressure. I don't understand people not liking what the Bible says about it when it says so much about it. I've watched a lot of people get upset over soul winning. How come you got to preach soul winning? We've had people that come to our church and this is what they've said. We've been to other churches, but since we've been here, we see the importance of soul winning. I wasn't out to do that. I want you to be a balanced Christian. In other words, I'm not magnifying this any bigger of an issue than God does. But how do you read your Bible and skip over soul winning? If all you were doing was reading your Bible, how can you be saved and not care about somebody else, whether they're going to a burning hell forever or ever? How can you do that? Look at Luke 13. Watch this. Verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, of the man that kept the landscaper, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. From verse 6 to verse 10, Jesus is teaching about how God is the one who plants us, right? He saves us. And then God comes to each one of us looking for fruit. And when God doesn't find fruit, remember what fruit is? The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. When God doesn't find fruit, God says what you would say if you planted a fig tree and nothing came of it. You would say, okay, cut it down. Something's genetically wrong. I got a bummer. Plant another tree. And Jesus says, Father, give me a little more time with them. Give me a couple more years with them. And if they still don't bear fruit, then Lord will dig it up. Jesus is our interceder and our advocate, our pleader, right? And God says, I want fruit. I want fruit. Jesus pleads for us. This lets me know bearing fruit is an issue. It should be important. Jesus says, what's a parable? It's a physical story with a spiritual application. So think into the story. This is very important to God. Being a soul winner is a command. That's a Bible study in itself. It is all through the Bible. It's not one place. It is over and over and over again. God holds us responsible for every person we could have witnessed to. Why don't we end this way? Go to Ezekiel chapter 33. These two chapters I've always found, these are the same. Ezekiel 3, 17 through 19 and Ezekiel 33, 7 through 9 have always been easy for me to remember. Look at verse 7, Ezekiel 33. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Before anybody is cast into hell, will be at the great white throne judgment. And if you could have witnessed to them and you didn't, they will look at you and say, you could have told me. And their blood will be on our hands. That's a pressure all of us are supposed to deal with. I'm taking a trip with Abby and I. We're going down to Kentucky to get our license tomorrow. We'll stop at a gas station to get gas, obviously. I need to carry tracts with me. There'll be people I meet tomorrow I'll never meet again in my life. But my path will cross. When I pay for the gas, I need to give a gospel tract. Hey, shows you in there how to go to heaven. They're on the job. I don't try to witness to them right then. You understand? Because they get frustrated. But I can at least give them a gospel tract. I was on the road as an evangelist. I'll close with this. When I was an evangelist, I was in Kansas. And I stopped in at a gas station. There was a guy sitting at the chair. I filled up my minivan at the time. Went and paid the gas. There was nobody Kansas is flat. There was nobody for any miles as you could see. So, he was just sitting there. Thank you. I led him to the Lord. He didn't have anything else to do. He didn't have a line of customers behind him. He got saved, and that night I was preaching in a church. It was about 2 hours from there. I said, I just led a man to the Lord today. I said, that was awesome. That was great. And I was preaching on, and he, you don't have to come to church to get saved. I said, I don't lead people to the Lord so they can come to my church. I said, that man will probably never go to church. I don't know if there's a church in the area wherever he goes to. I said, I led the man to Christ because he was on his way to hell. And I'll probably never see him till we get to heaven. I hope you have the same thing. This is a big issue.